And hello once again, Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, where we talk about fun topics, controversial topics. With me, it's almost always a humorous topic, and if it's not by nature a humorous topic, we find a way to inject humor, because laughter is the best medicine, especially in the year that seems to be the twilight zone once again. But that's how we roll here on WWGH Radio. We get together here on the air over the internet and, of course, via the old-fashioned method at 107.1 megahertz FM every Monday, about 10:13 a.m. Eastern Time until 11, and Tuesday and Thursday, 2:13 p.m. until 3. Last time we got together, we had an interesting guest. Again, controversial, and I'll say quite erudite gentleman. His name is Lucas Wall. He officially lives in our nation's capital of Washington, D.C., but is currently staying with family in the beautiful sunshine state of Florida. He was on with me, and we had such a good time during our program that we brought him back to be on with the interviewer to the stars, Mr. Scott Spears himself. See if we've properly patched all the cables together. Last time when Lucas was on, it went very smoothly. Let's see if we can make it 3 for 3. How are you doing on this fine day, Mr. Lucas?
Well, doing pretty good overall, Adam, but really irked at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, also known as the Centers for Doubt and Confusion, flip-flopping again last week on their guidelines for mask wearing. But we had turned the page on this and put masks in the past, and yet here we go again dealing with the same ridiculous recommendations.
As I say, Lucas, the CDC, along with a certain doctor who just turned 80, who is kind of coordinating these efforts, they have more flip-flops than a beach footwear store. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Okay. It's sort of like a spinning wheel to try to keep track seemingly every week of what the CDC and Dr. Fauci say about masks.
Quite possibly they change their mind more often than I change my underwear, as some people say. But who knows? We'll keep away from the TMI comments, but never be at a loss for humor, as I think that's good. And even for situations, Lucas, like this that are anything but happy, humor always makes things more palatable, and I think it also helps to solve problems and solve the ways of the world much better. Now, I invited you on the show last time, Lucas, because we felt you had a great lawsuit against several government agencies, in fact, even against the President of the United States. How about that? That's about as high up as you can go, as well as several of the airlines, specifically Southwest, who has particularly irked you. And, you know, you're a friend of mine, you irk a friend of mine, you irk me. We talked about your lawsuit, about your background, about your blog, and some developments. There's actually been some more things that have occurred since then. We had so much fun and enlightenment. We brought you back on again to talk to Scott. Now, with us, Lucas, we pretty much agreed, even the case of vaccination. We're not saying we should go ahead and force people to be vaccinated. We even questioned if the vaccine is effective, and there's been quite a bit about that since we last talked. But we're saying get the vaccine if you want. If you do, I respect your decision. If you don't, I respect your decision also. That's part of what makes America great, differing opinions, and keep your laws off my body, all that kind of stuff. One thing we certainly agree on, though, is the idea that a mask is effective. We actually don't agree completely. I think the mask has some effectiveness, but the issues that result from mask wearing far outweigh any of this minimal effectiveness. And as I see it, even if the masks were very effective, I'm not in favor of requiring them. I mean, you might as well just wrap your whole body in saran wrap, for example, if you want to make sure that your cooties don't get on somebody else. That's how I see it, and I just don't think that it's being selfish by saying that no one should be required to wear a mask. But if you wear one, I'm not going to fault you for it. I think we agree on that. We respect your decision. Just don't force it on me and don't make it a law. Now, this lawsuit you're filing, Lucas, relates to the fact that you, as someone who flies a lot, put it mildly. You love traveling. You write a blog about travel, which we will talk about shortly. You attempted to get on a short flight within the state of Florida on Southwest Airlines on June 2nd, same date that Ohio had its restrictions lifted, and the airline told you to basically take a hike. And at that point, you were less than pleased, as you had a right to be, plus you had paid for your ticket, and you decided to file a lawsuit against Southwest and other airlines, as well as several government agencies. Would that be correct?
Yeah, just to be precise, there's two separate lawsuits, one against the government, one against seven airlines, because the issues are a little bit different, so it's two different cases. The government case is moving on a fast track. The airline case is moving on a slower pace because the issues against the government really need to be resolved in terms of striking down the federal transportation mask mandate first before I can fully pursue my discrimination claims against the airlines.
We're speaking with Lucas Wall here on The Talking Place, live from his sort of temporary domicile in Southern Florida. Usually
Central Florida.
Central Florida. Okay, well, Florida, again, being a peninsula, kind of tricky, but Central Florida, but wherever you are, it certainly is southeast to where we are here in the great Buckeye
yes,
State
of
Ohio. And I'll get your location right sometime, but you travel so much, it's reasonable to be a little bit confused about where you might be.
That's
your blog,
true.
You talk a lot about Senegal, a unique country in Africa. You've been to all these really cool places, more than likely have had some really interesting and exotic food. Quite jealous of that, and I know you want to get back to your travels and writing about them, the thing that you love doing. And this has certainly put it mildly, kink in that armor and detour in these plans that you just love doing. But again, your main residence is currently in Washington, D.C., so you're sort of neighbors with a person that is on your list of defendants, Mr. Joseph Biden himself. How about
that's right.
That? It's America, and you can even sue the President of the United States if you so desire. Now, having been on recently, Lucas, with Scott and myself, how would you say the shows differed? And what did you think about Scott? As I told you, he's a great interviewer in terms of his ability to interview and to challenge people and to stimulate brain cells. He's as good as most of the people that I see on national TV. Do you agree?
Yeah, again, I really enjoyed both conversations. The first program with you, Adam, last week was a little bit more friendly, whereas Scott was playing the much more neutral questioner and really trying to pinpoint some of my arguments, rebutting what the government and many pro-maskers argue. And so it was a good practice, I thought, for if I get to oral argument in federal court of rebutting the claims that the government surely will make about how desperately we need people to wear masks on airplanes, buses, trains, ferries, etc.
But as you can see, he's a great interviewer, and that's what's so cool about the station. You don't have to agree with what the guests or the other hosts have to say, but you got to love how good they are. And with me, yeah, I don't claim to be the greatest radio host in the world. My background is more of a disc jockey, but I guess I have my moments. But we pretty much agreed. We agree on 95% at least of this, and that's what's important, that we're Americans, we're on the same team. And yeah, and Scott certainly did challenge you and allow people to think and decide what their own priorities, objectives, and opinions are. And that's one thing we always disseminate here on The Talking Place, and something that we just love doing. And every time you go away from a program on this station, you're going to laugh a little bit, you're going to be surprised, and I think your IQ is going to grow by a point or two, and that's what it's all about, as I see it. Before we get into the deeper topics, Lucas, let's talk about a happy topic, your blog. It's URL. We invite our listeners to visit the URL and bookmark it. It's lucas.travel. Tell us a bit, how did you get the blog started, and tell us a bit about the blog, and when people go to it, what can they learn? What can they find out?
Well, I first travel blog back in 2010, and it was a great opportunity to share with others the experiences that I've had, the very rich experiences visiting what is now 134 countries. Back then, it was probably closer to 80 or something when I started it. And that blog ran for many years on a site called Travel Pod, which is now, as of a few years ago, defunct. And so I had a break for a year or two where I wasn't doing any blogging. But then I decided to start up my own blog, Lucas.Travel, January 2019. Wrote about that for most of 2019, and then took a pause. And then, of course, in March 2020, we had the global pandemic declared, and I have not left the country since then. We're now coming up on 17 months since the World Health Organization declared the pandemic. So I do the blog as a hobby. It's not anything I make any money off of, but it is my passion. Travel is my absolute biggest joy in life. And to be able to collect my thoughts in writing and share all of my pictures and videos gives me a great deal of satisfaction and just a real exuberance of sharing everything that's out there in the world that most people in America just don't have the opportunities or desire to see.
Perhaps ironically, there are those who feel that people who are anti-mask, as you and I are, we make no secret of that, are selfish. Of course, I disagree. Actually, I think people who think you should wear a mask are the ones being selfish. But let's go ahead and say that, okay, people who are unmasked are selfish, don't care about their fellow humans. But what you do is write about your experiences in visiting other countries. That's about as unselfish of an activity as I could possibly think of. So there's a little bit of irony for you.
Well, just the act, I think, of wanting to see so many different cultures and meet so many different people, it's experiences that I relish in, but to describe me as being selfish when 80% of Americans will never go to more than two or three foreign countries in their lifetimes, I think it's just a different perspective. And I agree with you that people who are selfish are the ones who demand an infringement on other civil liberties. It's especially ironic. I don't want to get into the third rail of abortion politics, but regardless of what your views are, it's extremely hypocritical and ironic for a lot of people on the far left who are so radically pro-mask, and not just pro-mask for themselves, but wanting to muzzle everyone in society. Those folks are completely pro-choice, quote-unquote, when it comes to aborting children. But when it comes to other autonomy of our own bodies, such as whether to put something over our mouth and nose that obstructs our breathing, and for tens of millions of Americans like myself who suffer from medical conditions that we can't tolerate wearing a face mask, they have no sympathy or empathy for that. They want everyone muzzled, and the science just doesn't support it. And it goes against their fundamental pro-choice creed. It's the same thing with the vaccinations. Adam, you and I disagree on whether we individually have decided to get the vaccination, whether it makes sense for us. You have not. I have. I respect your decision. I'm not going to come in and try and force you to get a vaccine that you evaluate for yourself is not appropriate for your health situation. Yet we have President Biden, who's adamantly pro-choice on abortion, demanding people wear masks on all forms of transportation, recommending that people wear masks everywhere again, except outdoors, and also demanding that all federal employees get vaccinated or face incredible restrictions on what they can do in their jobs, such as being banned from traveling on business, being subjected to mandatory weekly COVID testing, even if they've already had the virus and have natural immunity.
Yeah, interesting ironies, and, you know, politics can make strange bedfellows. As I'm fond of saying, I have somewhat libertarian viewpoints. I'm an independent, but people have said, okay, you sound like a libertarian. Well, in some ways I am. I say, keep your laws off my body kind of a guy. I don't always talk about my political views, don't always make them really obvious, but here we're going to go ahead and just spit a few of them out, because I do from time to time, reward my faithful listeners with that information. I'm extremely pro-choice. I don't think abortion is right, but I think you should be allowed to have one. That's an individual decision between the mother, hopefully the father and other relatives, and if you choose God and your clergy person. Certainly it should be legal. It's a separation of church and state issue like many of this is. I'm in favor of, as long as you're a consenting adult, whom you choose to have adult relations with, that's your business, again, as long as you're both consenting adults. In terms of the vaccine, I'm in favor of requiring polio and rubella and those vaccines before a person goes to school or before a person travels. I think you and I agree with that, Lucas. But this particular vaccine is different. Maybe 20 years from now, things will not be the same as it would be past what some people might consider it to be an experimental or beta time frame. Or maybe it's discovered that there are more effective ways of dealing with this. But for the coronavirus vaccine, and there are certainly three that are used in the United States, and AstraZeneca is developing one also. But the three that are commonly used here in this country, get it if you wish. I think for some people it's a good idea. For some people it probably isn't. And many times it seems like we take medication that may not be necessary. That's often the mentality of the medical profession in this country. And sometimes there isn't much of a choice, but this concept that the default human condition is ill instead of healthy, that certainly troubles me. And other things related to keep your laws off my body, I don't think you should smoke, but if you want to smoke, that's your business. Again, as long as you're of legal age. I don't think the legal age should be 21. I think it should be 16. But again, if you wish to smoke, that's your business. You wish to drink, that's fine. You wish to use marijuana, just don't do it before you get behind the wheel of a car. And of course, with masks, whether or not I think they're effective, and again, I feel they are minimally effective, but as Lucas and I will talk about shortly, the problems that are caused by mask wearing far outweigh any of this minimal effectiveness. Wear one if you wish. I was driving around over the weekend on the highway, you know, fairly warm day. There was two men in a BMW, just kind of funny, just as an aside, there was two men in a BMW two-seater convertible. The driver was unmasked. The passenger was masked. I wasn't quite sure what was going on with that. Maybe they just wanted me to look at them and giggle. Don't know, but you do see that, and you see people on Facebook posting, motorcyclists, you know. One thing that kind of, you know, talk about irony, a motorcyclist not wearing a helmet but wearing a mask.
That really is ironic and quite silly, isn't it? I tell you, the pictures of people driving alone in their cars wearing a mask are just a riot. I just can't understand. Even if you're the most adamant pro-mask person in the world, I just can't imagine how anyone could think that there's any belief or any science that supports wearing a mask when you're in an enclosed vehicle with no other person.
I wasn't sure about the two men in the convertible, but, you know, I can't really talk, but I assure you, this is a true story. I almost took a picture. It was a really cool BMW convertible. I was kind of envious of it. But, you know, you look on Facebook, you see these memes. There's the famous one that I've posted of the guy wearing a seatbelt just walking around outside, not inside the car. You know, you got to find a little bit of humor in this. So bottom line is I put mask wearing in the keep your laws off my body department, along with other things that I mentioned previously. Doesn't mean, like in the case of abortion, does not mean that I am in favor of abortion. I basically am not. But what I am in favor of is allowing the woman, along with others who should be involved in the decision, decide whether or not to do it. And there really are no winners.
You and I share a very similar political philosophy, Adam. I also consider myself mostly a libertarian. I'm independent when it comes to political party affiliations, and I really believe strongly in personal choice. There's a lot of things I don't do in my life. I don't do drugs, but I support total legalization because I think the problems that the war on drugs create are so much more severe than the troubles that drug use creates. And unless you are, as you mentioned, getting high and driving your car and crashing it into me walking on the sidewalk, then I don't have a problem with your behavior, even though it's not something I choose to engage in. And I wish people would have the similar respect that if they want to wear a mask and force their kids to wear a mask, that's their own personal decision. They can weigh the pros and cons of doing that. But they have no business telling me to cover my face and to cause me to instigate a panic attack and hyperventilation and trouble breathing.
Lucas Wall is our guest here for an encore performance here on The Talking Place, because we had so much fun and brain cell stimulation last time he was on. We thought we would continue the conversation. Plus, knowing how long-winded I could be, we knew there would be plenty more to fill up this approximately 47-minute time frame of stimulating conversation. We're going to talk about several points, Lucas, actually several dozen points that you made in your lawsuit regarding why masks are not effective. We like to see concrete evidence, proof. We're going to provide that to people. But we did see an article recently that in Ohio and South Carolina, the governors have promised they're not going to bring back the mandates, that maybe cases are going up, and they certainly are here in Marion County. Scott has had discussions about that with the superintendent and Tyler from the health department at the end of July. But we're not expecting there to be any statewide mandates forthcoming. Of course, individual cities and school districts and businesses, that might be a different matter. Now, in Florida and Texas, the governors have outlawed mandates by school districts, and that has certainly generated a lot of controversy, to say the least.
Yeah, we're fortunate here in Florida, Governor DeSantis strengthened the state's anti-mask policy on July 30th. He issued an executive order, and I'm quoting here, "Masking may lead to negative health and societal ramifications, and forcing people to wear masks could inhibit breathing and lead to the collection of dangerous impurities, including bacteria, parasites, fungi, and other contaminants. DeSantis ordered that the Florida Commissioner of Education shall pursue all legal means available to ensure school districts in Florida adhere to the law banning mask mandates, and he threatened to withhold state funding from any non-compliant school district, such as the one in Broward County down where Fort Lauderdale is, where they unanimously voted the other day to defy DeSantis' order and require muzzling of all children and teachers."
I'm all for that. I feel that he has taken the right step. And again, I don't agree with DeSantis on some issues. We talked about the very sensitive abortion issue. He and I don't see eye to eye. However, when it comes to the masking and being a true leader, we certainly do. So people like myself that have, you know, eclectic opinions, we have to decide which ones are important. And right now, the masking issue, that's probably number one. It's not just the mask itself. It's the infringement upon our freedom and this life, liberty, pursuit of happiness concept that seems like a lot of politicians and a lot of people seem to have forgotten about. Now, here in Ohio, we have a tenuous situation with three Republicans that want to be the next governor for an election coming up in little more than a year, and a Democrat, Nan Whaley, who's been on with Scott, a great interview subject several times, and I don't agree with her on politics, but I really appreciate her coming on the air and talking with us, and we encourage everybody, make your own decision. You know, Lucas DeWine, he's in his 70s, but he wants to remain governor, and I think in some ways he certainly is quite qualified, as we were talking off the air. DeWine is experienced. He's an excellent lawyer. He's well known. He just was put in a difficult situation, and I don't think he handled it very well. But I think there can be some kissing and making up, because I do have doubts about the other two candidates. And that's going to lead to whether or not he's going to reinstitute the masking and social distancing requirements. And I don't think he's going to, or maybe he wants to, but he knows that if he does, people like myself who sit on the fence might be deciding to pull the lever for somebody else, and you got to do that.
I would imagine it would be political suicide for your governor facing a primary challenge in the Republican Party 17 months in the pandemic to reinstate onerous restrictions such as forced masks, physical distancing, business shutdown, school closures. That's just not going to fly, especially among the Republican electorate, not just in Ohio, but in any state. I think many of these Republican governors who bowed to public health officials' pressure to put in place mask mandates and lockdowns are going to be really vulnerable this next election cycle to primary challenges. One thing I do want to note here, we're talking a lot about our philosophy and our politics toward mask mandates, and I do span more than 60 pages of my 206-page legal complaint against the government discussing how masks are totally ineffective in reducing COVID-19 spread and deaths, how many studies are coming out showing there are actually dozens of health harms that masks cause, and then there are other issues such as masks have helped fuel the great surge in crime that we're seeing across the country because criminals can go into a store and rob it wearing a mask without looking out of place. And of course, we've been talking about schools, the health and social development detriments to forced masking on kids is so bad. There are a lot of medical experts who are labeling it now as child abuse. But there are many legal issues that really drive my case against the federal transportation mask mandate. A lot of these arguments that masks are not effective just go to one area of concern. The federal government is not allowed to enact regulations that are arbitrary and capricious, that are not supported by scientific evidence. And I argue that one point, but I have 22 other charges against the government for violating laws, constitutional provisions, and federal regulations that just do not give CDC the authority to do what it has. One thing of note, just on Saturday, August 1st, the CDC's eviction moratorium expired, and that is a case that is giving me a lot of hope that my action will be successful on the mask mandate, because several federal courts have struck down the eviction moratorium, and the Supreme Court told the Biden administration at the end of June that it will not allow any extension of the moratorium past July 31st. So as of August 1, the federal government is out of the business of seizing private property and telling landlords they cannot evict tenants who cannot pay their rent. And there's a protest going on. Some liberal representatives are sneaking on the steps of the Capitol to try and get the administration or Congress to further extend that moratorium, but the courts have been very clear that the CDC lacks any statutory or constitutional authority to infringe on the state-regulated arena of evictions, and I contend that's the same here with the federal transportation mask mandate.
Speaking with Lucas Wall here on The Talking Place about a lawsuit he has filed against several government agencies and airlines. He did that on June 2nd, again, ironically, the date that the restrictions in Ohio were completely lifted at a statewide level. And this was due to the fact that Southwest Airlines declined his entry onto a flight, which would go a short flight from one Florida city to another. And he feels, as I do and many others do, that they broke the law. The United States has broken its own laws, and it's time not to sit here and complain about it. It's time to get something done. Lucas, you filed a legal document. It's over 200 pages, and you're not an attorney, but you've had experience in the legal field, as I have, and like yourself, I have many attorneys in my family. So we're certainly, for non-lawyers, no more than the average person. It's a very impressive document, and point number 513, about halfway through, says masks have proven, actually I have to scroll here because it's such a big document, to be totally ineffective in reducing COVID-19 spread and deaths. Of course, that's been a point of controversy. Do the masks work? And as I see it, again, it's a two-sided issue. Do they work? And even if they did work, or as I feel they work partially, and I do stress very partially, should they be required? And in my case, again, it's a resounding no. On both ends. And you've listed dozens of reasons, dozens of studies, credible studies, showing that masks are not effective. Something else that comes up is, okay, well, if masks don't work, why do surgeons and surgical assistants like nurses wear them in the operating room? And I sent you an article from a surgeon who explained why people in the medical field wear them in the operating room. So those who say, well, if you don't like masks, tell your doctor not to wear one next time you have an operation. Well, it kind of shoots down that argument. But let's get to what you're citing in your legal document. Again, it's over 200 pages and quite impressive. I mean, even an experienced lawyer would be very impressed with what you've filed and what you've compiled. What are some of the highlights, Lucas, of this reasoning? Black and white in many cases. Yes and no in many instances. Showing that masks are ineffective, and even if with a minimal amount of effectiveness, that they are detrimental to people's ability to interact as humans. Humans are social animals, affecting breathing, affecting wellness, and especially among children that are at an impressionable age. What are some of the highlights of these points regarding the ineffectiveness and danger of wearing a mask?
Well, I'd encourage people to take a look at my lawsuit. It's online at bit.ly/complaint-wall-CDC. Complaint, the C is capitalized, W is capitalized, CDC is capitalized. I think it is case sensitive. You can also find a link to the lawsuit on several of my blog postings at lucas.travel. We obviously don't have too much time to go into details, but let me give you a few highlights. My lawsuit alleges that despite what the federal government and the media narrative is, numerous scientific and medical studies have been released documenting how masks are totally ineffective in reducing COVID-19 infections, hospitalizations, and deaths. There was a study done using CDC's own data from March 1 to December 31st last year, when statewide mask mandates were in effect in two-thirds of the counties in the United States. And this analysis looked at the county-by-county data and surveyed people who had worn masks and got COVID and people who did not wear masks and got COVID. And you've said that you believe there is a tiny amount of effectiveness of masks, and that study pinpointed 1.3%. difference in whether a county had a mask mandate or did not. So we've been doing all of this forced muzzling of people to have a 1.3% decline in COVID cases between mask mandate counties and no mask mandate counties. That is a huge infringement on civil liberties for a benefit that has been found to be barely more than 1%.
Yeah, bit of an irony there. Yeah, I mean, even I've overestimated based upon that study. I mean, there are many things to consider, apples to apples comparisons, apples to oranges comparisons. But as I've said, the issues with masks, everybody has anxiety when covering his or her face, and some people more than others. I certainly would be in that more than others category, as you would. And again, a lot of it is just my attitude that the whole thing is just totally ridiculous, that the way to solve this is not by wearing a mask, that there are ways to solve it.
The data I just talked about, Adam, was about positive COVID tests. Now, obviously, the much more important metric is deaths caused by COVID, and obviously those numbers are controversial because a lot of people allege that coroners are citing as the cause of death COVID for anybody who died of any condition and just happens to be infected with COVID. So that's a whole other talk show on that. But some more important numbers I found. The 10 states that never had a statewide mask mandate had 157 deaths attributed to COVID-19 per 100,000 residents. So that's 157. The 40 states that had a statewide mask requirement at some point during the pandemic had a death rate of 167 per 100,000. So that's 167 for the mask states, 157 for the no mask states. So when you look at the most important metric, who has died from the disease, given the data that exists, as controversial as it is, the narrative is clear that there was no positive impact from the 40 states who required masks in terms of reducing the number of people who died from COVID. In fact, they were 10 per 100,000 worse than the 10 states, including here in Florida, that never imposed a mask mandate.
Yeah, I mean, even I may have overestimated as certainly I talk about what I call a net negative effect as the problems brought about by mask wearing, which very well might have helped to negate the effectiveness. So the effectiveness, okay, let's say it's 20%. Like I've said, it's 22 as much as 50%, but that includes people that are wearing an N95 or not just a flimsy mask where you're just breathing all these chemicals that are sitting in front of your face and a rather porous surface versus an N95 that is actually designed for protection, although it may not be this kind of protection. We're looking at the social issues caused by the mask wearing, caused by breathing the chemicals that are part of the material, talking about affecting your ability to breathe clean air, especially if you have asthma or another condition. And again, the other mental aspects, the anxiety, that it's just not natural to communicate with somebody, to socialize where half the face is covered. It's a whole thing, just, you know, jokes aside that some people look better with a mask on. It just isn't natural. Even if you're not a good-looking person, I still want to see your face in all of its glory and splendor. And that's how we do things, especially as Americans.
And it's unfortunate we have the CDC last week telling even fully vaccinated Americans that they need to wear masks again when there's just no science to support that. One of the most prominent studies, real-world studies, not laboratory studies, but real-world observations, was published in November 2020 in Denmark, and they followed almost 4,900 people. Half wore masks and half did not, and they found no statistically significant difference between COVID infections in the mask-wearing group and the non-mask-wearing group. And the scientists concluded that we did not find a subgroup where face masks were effective at conventional levels of statistical significance. And they also noted that the World Health Organization itself has repeatedly acknowledged that there is a lack of scientific consensus that wearing a mask protects healthy people from COVID.
Let's go one state to the south, to the beautiful city of Louisville, because I wanted to cite a study, Lucas, from a location that's near where we are currently, as that puts things into perspective.
Yes, that is so. One of the best mass studies that has been done in the United States that I'm aware of.
Yep, it was done.
And I have submitted that study you mentioned from the University of Louisville researchers into evidence in my case.
Came out a week before I celebrated another year after I had left my mom's womb. And also, of course, that was June 1st. This came out a week before June 1st. University of Louisville, May 25th of 2021. Found state mask mandates did not help slow COVID-19 transmission. Quote, randomized control trials have not clearly demonstrated mask efficacy against respiratory viruses, and observational studies conflict on whether mask use predicts lower infection rates. Case growth was not significantly different between mandate and non-mandate states at lower high transmission rates, and surges were equivocal. Mask use did not predict summer 2020 case growth for non-Northeast states or fall-winter 2020 growth for all continental states. Conclusions, mask mandates and use are not associated with slower state-level COVID-19 spread during COVID-19 growth surges. Containment requires future research and implementation of existing efficacious, that's a good word, efficacious strategies. That's what I love about my science background, all the great words. All the cool words you get to use, and this kind of brings me back. Again, my education was in particle science. That's what I did my research in. So, I don't claim to be an expert, and it was quite a while ago. And every year I celebrate a birthday, it becomes longer and longer, but the general concepts are about the same. And that's where I take a look at the droplet nuclei, the particles, the ability to filter them. How does that all fit together? And so these studies, I don't claim to be able to understand every piece of them, but they do bring some things to light. And again, with the fun of being able to pronounce some of these cool words. Anyway,
I bet, Adam, that most of your listeners have probably never heard of this University of Louisville study that came out just 2 months ago, because the media does not cover scientific research showing that there is no association between statewide mask mandates and COVID-19 spread, as those researchers found. they concluded that the data suggests mask use is a poor predictor of COVID-19 growth at the state level. But yet now we have the Biden administration calling for all states to reimpose mask mandates that were repealed in every state except for Hawaii for fully vaccinated persons. And I think 40 out of the 50 states have repealed mask mandates for everyone before this new announcement by CDC last week. And I know we're running short on time here. I did want to get to one other important part of my arguments, as you had hinted at earlier, if I may, and that's about how, regardless of what you think of whether masks are effective in reducing COVID spread or not, masks pose serious health risks to humans forced to wear them. There was a excellent study that came out from a whole bunch of researchers from Germany, 42-page study published April 20th of this year in the International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health. All these studies that I've submitted as evidence in my case, these are not from some quacky, you know, one guy researcher who claims to, you know it all and is funded by some interest group and is making all these stuff up. These are German doctors and scientists, in this case, published in a reputable international medical journal, and they found, after reviewing 65 scientific papers on masks, that there are dozens of adverse health effects of covering the nose and mouth. And if I may, I can summarize a few of those. We obviously don't have time to go into all 50 or so.
Yeah, if you talk fast, it's okay.
But essentially, they say that masks harm physical, mental, and social well-being, and that extended mask wearing by the general population leads to relevant effects and consequences in many fields of medicine. Long-term disease-relevant consequences of masks are to be expected, and they list things such as anxiety, stress, increase in psychomatic and stress-related illnesses, depressive self-experience, personality disorders, anxiety, panic attacks, that's what I suffer from myself, and the fact that it's well known to scientists that even small increases in carbon dioxide, which is what you get when you're constantly breathing and having your breath reflected back from the mask into your nose and mouth, that even small increases in CO2 levels can cause and intensify panic attacks.
We want to thank Lucas Wall for being with us on a third appearance here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Lucas, again, tell our listeners where they can find your legal filing, which includes dozens of citations from the University of Louisville, again, fairly close locale, well-respected university, and other places, and make their own decisions. We're not telling people what to decide. We're not telling you wear a mask, don't wear a mask. We're just telling you what we have found. But we do believe that on a government level, there's no business telling people to wear a mask. But if you do choose to wear one as an American who celebrates life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness that we all love as being citizens of the greatest country in the world, I fully respect that decision. So before we close out here, remind our listeners how to be able to find online your legal filing, including these citations about mask pro and
con. Yeah, the simplest way is to go to my blog, lucas.travel, lucas.travel. Click on several of the stories about the lawsuit, and you can find links to the complaint, which is the 206-page document we've been discussing here today, the document that initiated the lawsuit. If people are with a pen and pencil nearby, you can also go directly to the PDF at bit.ly/complaint-wall-CDC, C in complaint, W in wall, and CDC capitalized.
I want to thank Lucas again for being with us here on The Talking Place. And Lucas, I wish you good luck in your lawsuit. We have some decisions that might be handed down in the next few weeks, and we'll keep our listeners abreast of what is occurring. Please do visit his blog for not only information about this topic, but all these really awesome places that he's been to in the last several years. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Conclude by inviting you to send your comments, complaints, suggestions, feedback about this program on our famous private email server, adam@wwgh1071.com.